Well, it's an exciting day for people who follow US politics. In fact, it's an exciting day, full stop. I mean, this is a presidential election, and we really are following this one down to the wire. And I thought we'd have a chat this afternoon with Dr. Emma Shortis. She is a US political expert from RMIT, and we welcome her to the program this afternoon. Thank you, Dr. Emma Shortis, for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. May I call you Emma?
You certainly may.
Emma, I've got to say, as being a US political expert, are you sitting with monitors in front of you watching the results come out minute by minute?
I am, yes. I'm flicking between CNN and Twitter and the New York Times, sort of desperately watching the results as they come in, because it is changing by the second, even.
It is. I've got a monitor of CNN come 9 in front of me. I've got Sky News. I've got the Sydney Morning Herald. I've got a couple of other things. And what it's showing me, dependent upon who you're watching, is as to who's winning. I mean, they just all have different results. The ABC have Biden won at 207 or something like that. That's their prediction anyway. I mean, it's all over the shop, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, look, to be honest, it is a bit hard to follow. I think you'll find that the US networks in particular, you know, places like CNN, will be more careful, because polls are actually still open in some states, particularly on the West Coast. So they will be reluctant to call things early, because that can actually influence turnout in other states where polls are still open. So the US will be a bit more careful. I think places like the ABC are sort of more confidently calling those, especially those states that are like reliably, you know, going to vote for Trump or vote for Biden, those kind of red states or blue states. But it is, I have to admit, confusing even for people who follow it really closely.
So it's looking, would you agree or disagree with this? It's looking like Trump has won Florida.
That seems to be the general consensus, that Trump has won Florida, not by a huge margin. You know, I think people who watch American politics, seeing Florida that close, are kind of shuddering again, because yeah, Florida's decided elections before. But it does look like Trump has won Florida, which is huge for him. Really, there were very few paths to victory for him that didn't include Florida.
Is that the same with Texas? There are very few paths to victory for him if he doesn't win Texas?
Look, I think that's true. You know, there are so many scenarios, but I think Texas flipping to Democrats would be a huge blow to Trump, not just because of the Electoral College results, but also just because Texas is, you know, we think of Texas as a sort of deep red state that's going to vote Republican every time. So Texas flipping to Biden would be really significant, and I think an indication of a national result, more so than somewhere like Florida.
So we still obviously will have to wait on Pennsylvania. That's important. How important is Pennsylvania?
Well, it remains to be seen. I think because places like Florida and Georgia are looking like they're going to Trump, that means that Pennsylvania is probably going to be more important than it otherwise would. We've still got to wait, I think, to see how places like Ohio, where Biden is ahead, to see how that plays out. So I guess what I'm saying is we're just going to have to wait at least a couple more hours until, you know, polls haven't closed everywhere yet. So there's still a little bit to go.
Emma, would you agree with this so far? Trump is a lot more competitive than A, most commentators thought, and B, national polls have told us for weeks and weeks now. Would you agree with that or not?
Look, I think certainly in national polls, Biden has been consistently ahead by sometimes double digits. But I think, look, those of us who watch this know that national polls aren't necessarily going to tell us what will happen, because the popular vote doesn't actually really matter in the United States. You know, Biden can win the popular vote by millions of votes. If he doesn't win the state-based electoral college, then that's kind of irrelevant. So if you're watching closely, you know, I think, not to rely on those national polls. But I think there was some complacency, I guess, amongst some commentators that because Biden was so far ahead, it was going to be a landslide. But I think people who watch this seriously knew that was unlikely.
There's been talk about this in recent days. Could Trump declare a victory before mail-in votes are counted?
Look, he can do that. He's suggested that is exactly what he's going to do. He wants to have a result, you know, tonight, US time. He wants a result on the day, and he's been undermining the integrity of mail-in voting for months now. And we know there's nothing to worry about in that sense, that mail-in voting is perfectly fine, and there's no evidence that fraud is a problem. But Trump, you know, we know Trump doesn't necessarily care about that. And he has suggested that he may declare a victory, and that will be a massive, massive test for the integrity of the American political system.
A, it'll be a test for that, but B, from all reports, if he was to do that, does that equate to unrest in the streets as well?
Look, unfortunately, I think that is certainly possible. I think it really depends not so much on what Trump does, but on what the people around him do. It depends on how the media reacts. It depends on how his supporters react. You know, we know he's got a history of kind of, I guess, signaling to white supremacist militias, you know, telling them to stand by. And so I think that's why those of us who watch the United States are pretty worried about what Trump is going to do, especially if it is as close as it looks like it might be. Because people, you know, the US is really volatile. People are really scared, I think.
Well, evidence of that is there are owners of a couple of coffee shops that hail from Australia here in Washington, and their insurance companies have told them that if they don't hoard up their windows over the next couple of days, damage bills won't be paid for.
Yeah, it is pretty. It's quite something to watch, isn't it? To see all those, you know, the streets of New York being boarded up. I think it remains to be seen if that is people being afraid because of the way things that it's been covered. But I, you know, from watching from here, I kind of worry that the fear of something like that happening kind of does that make it inevitable? And how are police, you know, we know that there have been significant problems with police violence in the United States. How are police going to react to people going out on the streets, you know, even if it is peaceful? So I think like it is quite a dangerous situation in the United States. Having said that, you know, things have been relatively calm so far, but again, you know, it's early in the night.
Look, Biden has made lots of gaffes throughout this campaign. Have you seen the one today or heard the one today where he introduced his granddaughter as Beau Biden, his dead son?
I have not seen that. That hasn't come across my screen, but that is... I guess that won't play well if he has done that.
Yeah, I've got... I'll play you the audio. It only goes for... This is him here.
My addition to my granddaughter. This is my son, Beau Biden, who a lot of you helped elect to the Senate in Delaware. This is my granddaughter, Natalie.
Can you hear the crowd in the background? They just went quiet when he introduced his son, Beau Biden, who's been dead since 2015. I mean, that's a huge gaffe. This is a guy that could end up president of the United States.
Well, I mean, look, I would say that Beau holds it. We know that Beau Biden holds a very, very special place in his father's heart, and I think, you know, a lot of grandparents are guilty of doing that kind of thing. We've certainly had gaffe-prone presidents before, you know, if we cast our minds back to George Bush and misunderestimating
it's
things.
True.
So, look, I guess I can see why people would be worried, and we do have the two oldest presidential candidates in history, so this has been the subject of a lot of scrutiny. Whether this, you know, this particular gaffe changes people's minds so late in the game, I'm not sure that will have any impact.
If Biden wins and is deemed not, I won't say suitable, but is deemed that, you know, the mindset can't do the job, is it axiomatic that Kamala Harris becomes the president?
Well, look, I think it depends on a lot of things. There is something called the 25th Amendment, where the president, if the president is unable or unwilling to discharge his duties because of illness or whatever, then he can basically be replaced by his cabinet or by Congress. So there is that option. You know, I think, of course, we're getting into kind of hypothetical situations, but it's certainly the case, and I've been asked this a number of times, that if a president, for example, a president resigns or a president dies in office, then the vice president assumes the presidency and can serve out the term until the next election. That's what a vice president is for. That is why they're there.
That's why they're there. If Donald Trump loses this election, is he able to come back and run again in 2024?
Yes, he is. So presidents are limited to serving two terms, but they don't have to be consecutive. Look, I think, again, this is forecasting well into the future, but I think if we're looking at 2024, it's possibly more likely to be Don Jr. or maybe Ivanka Trump who's running instead of their father.
That's an interesting thought. I never considered that. I just thought that it was always going to be the Donald Trump, the Donald running for presidency. I just don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. No one does, Emma. Whether Trump is actually, if he is defeated, whether he's actually going to accept defeat or cause problems. One just hopes that if he is defeated, that he loses well rather than loses badly. I think he said this morning that no one likes to lose, no one more than me. But if it's evident that he has lost, one can only hope that for the country, for the United States, that he loses with grace.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for the sake of American democracy, we should all hope that he does that. But, you know, I think you were pointing at it a little bit that we know Donald Trump hates to lose, and I kind of struggle to see him being able to accept the humiliation of a defeat and not, you know, reaching for conspiracy theories. He's already been saying that the election is rigged. So I don't have a lot of confidence there, I have to say.
What happens if he refuses to accept the result?
Well, then we are in completely unprecedented territory. So the United States Constitution is really, really clear about the transition of power and how that's supposed to work, but it assumes that people are kind of acting in good faith and, you know, working together with the best of intentions. If Trump refuses to leave office, then that's kind of all gone out the window. Theoretically speaking, what happens is Joe Biden is basically, he becomes president-elect, and then on the 20th of January, he is inaugurated as president. Whether Trump is accepting the result or not, Joe Biden becomes the president, and, you know, theoretically, he's now the commander-in-chief. Trump's just a regular citizen, so Biden can, I guess, you know, order in the military and
have him removed
out of the Oval Office.
I've got to go to the news. I thank you for your time, Dr. Emma Shortis. We might talk again. Enjoy this afternoon.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks, Emma. Bye-bye.